Welcome back to another broadcast. This is the second part of the topic in our discussion being, I must have everyone else's love and approval. And of course, that's another lie that you may believe or many people fall into. And we talked about what are some signs or indications that we might be living in the realm of that lie. And one we looked at was, when my teenager asks for money, I always give him some because I don't want him to dislike me. And here's a parent living to try and get their children to like them. You know, I've thought about this more since the last broadcast, and I can think of people who they want to be their children's best friend. And I've heard so many times where people have discouraged that to happen. Because one, when you become their best friend, you cease to be leading them. But I really thought about, why does a parent want to be that? And it's really that they're trying to obtain something to meet a need. And many times, maybe not all the time, but many times, it may be just this. They're performing, they're acting in ways, they're doing things or refraining from doing negative actions toward their young people because they're afraid that they may reject them. And then when they don't feel that they've been accepted, then that hurts them, and they're making decisions based on not what's best for their young person, but what's to satisfy and meet their own personal need. We saw one, I know my coworkers are taking advantage of me, but I can't say no to them because I'm afraid that they won't like me. And we found out that we could fall into that trap of wanting to please everybody around us and even people who hurt us. I was driving in my vehicle this week, and I had the radio on, and I just turned it on to a Christian station, and it just happened to be they were interviewing a man who had been a professional football player, and he was sharing about how he fell into the trap of trying to seek everyone's approval. And I said, boy, this is a godsend. This is exactly the topic of what I'm talking about in my broadcast. And here's a guest on another radio show that is doing the exact same thing. And he shared this, that I played football. He was the most valuable player for that game, or maybe even the season, but we'll just say that game. They stomped the other team like 36-0. And when the game's over and everyone rushes out onto the field, his father comes rushing out to him and said that if you would have done in the game, you would have scored another touchdown. Talk about deflating. Here's the son who's at a pinnacle time in his life, and yet it still doesn't satisfy his father. And so he began to share his story of driving and pushing his children in the same manner that his father did. So not only is his life being destroyed because he's not living in the wonderful life that God has expected for him, but he's trying to perform so he can get people's acceptance. And he talked about there, it started with his father. So I want you to ask yourself some questions. If we've been touching on this topic and really kind of, maybe it has to do with you, ask yourself, why do you think people will reject you? What is it about you that you think they're going to reject? You need to look at this. Why? What's happened in your past that's causing you to think this? I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. You know, if you just kind of just blow everything over and you make excuses for whatever or downplay major situations in your life, you're never going to be able to experience the wonderful life that God has for you. But you have to ask yourself, why? Why do you feel rejected? Or why will people reject you? And what happened in your past that's causing you to think this way? And then let me ask you this. When you find yourself trying to please people, what thoughts are going through your mind? What things are you saying to yourself? And where did these thoughts originate? Or where did they come from? They've come from somewhere. And that's what's causing you to feel like you have to get everyone's approval. We were discussing this last week. You know, after a period of time of always living for somebody else, after a while, you really kind of forget who you are because you're living underneath the dictates of what you think everybody else expects. The expectations of others are put over your will. In fact, the expectations of others are really put before the expectations that God has for you. And so I want to see you get free from that. I want you to no longer be concerned about whether people will think well of you, or, but rather instead, that your actions that you're doing are what's right. You know, it's difficult to live the Christian life. It's difficult to be a parent. It's difficult to be a leader. If you're in the workforce and you're in management, it's very difficult to do that. Because in all the tasks that I've just described, there are things that you will do that people will absolutely just love. But then, if you're a parent, or you're a leader, or you're in management, or you're in any capacity where you are responsible for other people's performance, you're going to have to give them some negative feedback based on maybe some performance that they've done, maybe some area where they failed to achieve what they could, and you're going to have to point out what they failed to achieve and then provide instruction and help and assistance so that they can accomplish it the next time. You know, it's called coaching or mentoring or developing somebody. But see, the thing is that many times we have a hard time confronting people and saying about the negative things that they've done. You know why? Because we're afraid they're going to reject us. And what we really wind up living is in a cage. We're a prisoner again. We're a prisoner to the thoughts and perspectives of everybody else. The problem is some people are going to want you to behave one way, and other people are going to want you to behave in a contrary manner to that. Which one are you going to please? You're not going to be able to please them both. I just say, let's identify what is causing us to have this fear, to believe this lie that I must earn everybody's approval, to be free from that, and then we will be able to just live and please God. But once again, we fall into this trap where we think that we have to live to get God's love. We have to live to get God's acceptance. I know there are things that I could do that would be displeasing to God. And I know that there are things that I could do that would be pleasing to God. But neither the things that are pleasing nor the things that are displeasing does not change whether or not he accepts me. And I'm looking at a scripture here, and it's found in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Let me go back to verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So if you've trusted Christ as Savior, he has chosen through and because of Jesus Christ to adopt you into his family according to the good pleasure of his will, or that which is pleasing to him. He is pleased to adopt you into his family. Then here's verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Here the scripture says that as a human being, I am accepted in Jesus Christ. Whether I do good or whether I fail to do good, whether I resist sin or whether I fall into sin, positionally, God is always going to be pleased with me, because when he sees me, he sees the righteousness of his Son. I understand that there are ways and actions that God expects me to live in accordance to. And if I do, then those actions are pleasing to him. It doesn't say when I do those actions, I am pleasing to God. It's that the actions are pleasing to God because it fits into his plan, and I begin to reflect the grace of God that's in my life, and I live a life of a testimony of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world around me. My actions may be pleasing or displeasing, but I am always pleasing to God. I do know that if I stay in a realm of living that isn't pleasing to God, he will then bring actions into my life that we call chastening, so that it will affect my will, so that I would then repent of those actions and live according to the plan that he has. And why does he have the plan? So that he'll be praised, and it's really best for me. When I'm living the way that God wants me to live, I experience the greatest fullness of joy and happiness I could possibly have. When I live outside of that will, then I'm not experiencing it and I'm losing out. So God recognizes that, and he'll do actions to bring me back to him. But it doesn't mean in any way that I, as a person, have become displeasing to God, because God will always be pleased with me. Man might not always be pleased. We need to cease to live for men. But let's talk about the truth now. Remember we said the truth stands for the trigger event? You have to stop and ask yourself, what is the event that begins to cause me to feel or think that I might not be accepted? And you need to write some of these things down. When the broadcast is over, turn down the radio, stop, and say, Lord, show me, what are these situations that I get in that causes me to begin to feel like people are not going to accept me or people are going to reject me? So we're looking at, what are the ideas? What are those situations? Chances are it's when someone asks you to do something, somebody tells you to do something, somebody tells you they expect something from you. That's probably a chunk of them. And then you need to ask yourself, what's the reckless thinking? Remember, T is for trigger, R is for reckless or unspiritual thinking. What thoughts are going through my mind that's making me think I'm going to be rejected? Then I need to look at, how have I been responding to this? Have I been overcommitting myself? Have I been living in fear of facing people, so I avoid people? I avoid going to church. I avoid friends. I avoid conversations because if they don't know me, they won't reject me. If they don't know me, then I don't have to please them. I don't have to live up to what they expect. And therefore, I can escape it if I just avoid people. Is that what you're doing? Do you promise too much? Overcommit too much? Exaggerate? Boast? Brag? Fabricate stories? Anything to get people to accept you and like you? What's the trigger? What's the thinking process that you're having? What's the unhealthy or unspiritual response? And I'm always adding one now. What do I need to do? I need to recognize it. I need to confess it as sin to God and say, God, I'm wrong. I'm living my own life. I'm trying to solve my own problems with my own fears. And God, please forgive me. And now I want to cast all my care on you because you care for me. I'm going to cast my burden upon you, God, and I'm asking you, God, to work on my behalf and help me with this. Please forgive me for this sin of trying to please people and run my own life and get acceptance. And then I need to ask the Lord to give me truthful thinking. And one was that verse. If you didn't write it down, here it is again. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. We looked at verse 5, but verse 6 was the text verse I wanted us to see. I need to say, no, God loves me. God loves me because he's adopted me into his family. He loves me because I'm a joint heir with Christ. He loves me because when he sees me, he sees Jesus. I am accepted in Jesus Christ. And then, after that, selectively volunteer. Selectively confront people who they need to be confronted and share some things that they might not be pleased with. You don't need to do it all at one time, but begin to selectively do this and trust the Lord that he's going to help you. He wants to deliver you from this bondage that you're in. It's so difficult living a life that has you believing lies. And these lies that we're talking about did not just happen to us within the last 6 months. These lies that we believe and the performance that we try to do in our lives to either get acceptance or to get love is really enslaving us. We're a slave to people, and we are a slave to fear. God wants to set you free, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And for this lesson, the truth is, you're accepted in the Beloved. So until the next time.